Yesterday, Premier Ball, with Resources Minister Siobhan Cody and Federal MP Seamus O'Regan by his side, they laid out plans for rate mitigation for Muskrat Falls. Those plans include 13.5 cents per kilowatt hour for electricity being the rate, an infusion of money from the federal government, possibly, money-saving measures at Nalcor, hopefully, and electrification of public buildings. Des Sullivan is the man behind the Uncle Gnarly blog, outspoken critic of the Muskrat Falls project, joins me live in studio. Thanks for coming in this morning, Des. Good to see you.
Good morning, Paddy. Nice to be here.
What do you make of this plan?
Well, Paddy, at this stage in the game, the public are certainly looking for a rate mitigation strategy. They have been given one by the government. The problem, and I suppose in some context, it purports to meet the government's goal of there being no impact on either ratepayer or taxpayer. The problem is that there are so many uncertainties, so many gaps in the government's plan that this is not one you take to the bank.
Yeah, this is well populated with very optimistic assumptions. Let's start with the monies coming from Nalcor, $200 million dividend. What does that mean?
Well, it goes back even earlier than that. I have to make the point that this is a... remember that Muskrat was back end loaded. So that if you took that whole, and I won't go into the detail, if you computed the amount of money necessary to really finance Muskrat and not have, because we were supposed to get rate mitigation anyway, to avoid rate shock on the front end. Well, you at that time in the beginning, you needed $1 billion plus to finance Muskrat. When Stan Marshall made his presentation at Memorial last year, he said that Muskrat needed $808 million to be financed, both in terms of the capital interest costs, et cetera, and the operating and management costs. Now, under this latest plan, the Ball plan, he's brought the absolute requirement down to $725.9 million. So, first of all, I'd like to know where's the balance? But we'll leave that aside for a second. With regard to how it is actually going to be mitigated, yes, $200 million from Nalcor. Well, some years Nalcor loses money, some years it makes some money. It has not paid a dividend to the government in years. There was a time when someone from the Department of Finance, getting ready for the budget for a given fiscal year, would pick up the phone to Nalcor and say, how much money are you sending us over? That hasn't been done in nearly a decade. So you can't just legislate or mandate an entity to come up with $200 million. It has to be there. We as a public need to know, if it does come up with it, where's it coming from? What programs are being displaced? So is this $200 million imaginary? And I think that's a legitimate question. The same applies.
Well, the same thing, you know, we consider the fact that we transfer hundreds of millions of dollars per year to Nalcor. Now the money-making side of the business, being oil and gas, has been splintered out, so it really intensifies the question about where that $200 million comes from. Same with the $200 million from the federal government. Well, that's even more than the Hibernia cash transfer.
Yes, and the thing here is that there is no suggestion that the federal government are actually going to contribute anything. All we are allowed to glean from this rate mitigation plan is that the capital may be restructured. What that, to me, is a signal that the debt is likely to be kicked further down the road, and that we'll be dealing with this thing 75 years from now instead of 60 years from now. And as a public, we have to be very, very concerned about that, because even in a 60-year context or a 50-year context, there's no provision for technological change and all of the things that are going on in the world with regard to how cheaper, green, renewable power is being created in other jurisdictions. And as an economy, we don't want to be on the wrong side of them. We want to be competitive with everyone else. So that's so there is no money from the federal government. It's imaginary, it's rhetoric. On top of that, if you look specifically at the phraseology in the proposal, it seems to suggest that it's only for really a one-year period, and that future years will it will perhaps mirror the first one. But it is far from clear whether this plan goes beyond 2021. So there is no certainty here. And I guess my point is that this is a very, very important plan. People want certainty now. They've come through a large chunk of the Muskrat Falls inquiry. They've heard some pretty disconcerting stuff. They don't want to end up a few months from now having been told that perhaps all of those numbers were somewhat fictionalized and the money isn't there. We want certainty. Public have a right to know.
Yeah, even if it's not fictitious, it might be fanciful. You know, when you say a 1 year of $200 million, which may or may not happen, that's one of 57 years. Even if you extend the terms of the loan to 75 years, you'll spend more to actually have the capital and might decrease annual payments, but that still leaves us no really that much further ahead. Any other important points you'd like to focus in on before we wrap up?
I think there's a couple of key points, Patty. Number one is that the government is assuming that we're going to take all of the savings from the fuel at Holyrood. That implicitly means there'll be no backup. There's on the Avalon, we'll be completely at the mercy of whatever the weather conditions are anywhere on the LIL. That's, I think, quite unacceptable. We can't run an economy on the Avalon that has no backup power in the wintertime. There are other issues. Some of the promised funding doesn't take, for instance, the electrification program or the program where some of the diesel will be replaced in remote communities. None of those numbers reflect the fact that they're going to require capital to do that. So if you put in a heat pump, the likelihood is that you're calculating 5 or 7 or 8 years before you have the cost of the heat pump paid off, and then you can start getting the savings from the thing. None of that is reflected here. There are too many gaps, Patty, and I think that really the best thing that the Premier could do is offer the public of the province an opportunity to have this thing reviewed, say in front of the CEO of Nalcor, his deputy minister of finance, his deputy minister of natural resources. This is fresh now. They have constructed this. They can go to the public and say, we have the numbers. Prove it. Prove it to us.
And it's still confusing for some, so we do deserve the leaders breaking it down in fine details, you know, bite-sized morsels that we can really wrap our mind around. Good to see you, Des. Thanks for this.
Nice to talk to you.
Ted Sullivan, of course, outspoken critic of the project and the man behind the Uncle Gnarly blog.